Hi, welcome to Info Dumpies. My name's Brianne. I'm autistic, I have ADHD, my pronouns are she, her, and currently I'm feeling eepy sleepy. So this is going to be another solo dump. I think this one's probably going to be kind of quick. It's not that it's not an unimportant topic, but I just don't know that it's going to be like an hour-long episode worth of things. I think it's something that affects the autistic community quite a bit, and not all of us know what it is. And working on this for me has been very helpful. So today, we're going to talk about alexithymia and how it relates to interoception. So first, a little vocab lesson. Alexithymia is considered subclinical, so it's not a diagnosis, but it's something that affects 1 in 10 people, and in the autistic community, it affects more like half of us, so much more than the general population. And it is trouble naming and identifying emotions. So alexithymia, like I said, is something that exists outside of the autistic community, so depression can also cause alexithymia. But with autism, it can be a little different. So with alexithymia, a lot of the times, it is related to trauma of some kind for some people, including physical trauma. So someone who has undergone a traumatic brain injury afterwards might have trouble naming and identifying their emotions because of changes their brain has gone through. And trauma, though it is not a physical injury all of the time, trauma of the sort of emotional variety also causes changes in some brains, right? So with alexithymia, there is that component, but also when you're autistic, it can be related to our differences in interoception. Now, our other vocab word is interoception, and that is how your brain and body communicate signals to each other. So interoception is related to knowing when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, knowing when you're in pain, knowing when you're sleepy. And for a lot of us who are autistic, that is something that can be quite difficult. So like for me personally, I don't know that I'm hungry until I'm like getting heartburn because I've been really hungry for a while and I haven't realized it. And I just kind of have to be on a schedule to feed myself to make sure I don't get to that point. When I'm tired, I have trouble knowing until I'm really exhausted. If you're someone where that's relatable, you might also have alexithymia because when we are experiencing an emotion, our body or, you know, adrenals may release adrenaline, our brain may release certain neurochemicals, and those have a biological response. So a lot of the time when our brain has released these neurochemicals, because we're feeling a certain emotion, we might not recognize what that physical sensation or that biological response is doing to us. And that can be really overwhelming when you're autistic. Alexithymia is also one of the reasons that autism is typically characterized by not showing emotions in ways that people deem socially acceptable. So I can be really excited about something and just deadpan be like, that was great. I love it. I'm so excited. The point of working on alexithymia is not to change yourself. I'm not going to change the way I show that I'm excited about things. When we're feeling certain emotions and our brain and our endocrine system might be releasing certain hormones or neurochemicals, those have roots in fight, flight, freeze responses too. So a lot of the time for me, my body might release adrenaline because I have to make a phone call, but my body doesn't know that the phone call is not, you know, a lion chasing me, right? So even after I've made the phone call, I might still be feeling the effects of that and not really know what I'm feeling and be stressed the rest of the day. And I might have a meltdown and like not understanding that, you know, oh, the danger of the phone call versus a lion is over can contribute to autistic meltdowns and shutdowns. So for me, when I set out to work on my alexithymia, it wasn't to make myself feel things differently. It wasn't me trying to express myself the way an autistic person would. Working on my alexithymia meant improving my interoception so I could understand what my feelings felt like in my body more reliably and have a process to figure them out so that I could communicate more effectively with my loved ones, so that I wouldn't be as overwhelmed all of the time, to help with my meltdowns and shutdowns. And this is not one of the things where working on this means working on something that is inherent to you being autistic. Like, because of the way our brains are wired, I am never going to process emotions as quickly as someone who isn't autistic. But for me, it's been really helpful. So I'm going to talk about improving interoception, which is understanding your sensations in your body and the signals your body and your brain send back and forth to talk to each other as those relate to feelings, and alexithymia, which is trouble naming and identifying your emotions. So when you're autistic and you're having these feelings, a lot of the time you will feel the physical sensations in your body, right? But your brain has not gotten the memo that you are, you know, worried sick, or that you are overwhelmed, or that you are enraged. So you're just suddenly feeling differently physically, and you have not been given the memo as to why you're feeling differently physically. And when you have this disconnect, it can cause a lot of anxiety. So working on alexithymia can also help your anxiety quite a bit too, because if, like for me, I figured out that when my chest feels a little tight, when my throat feels tight, like, oh, I'm really worried. I feel sick to my stomach. I'm really worried. So I can kind of reverse engineer the answer for myself and save myself some of that extra anxiety of not knowing what's going on in my body. And working on interoception has been really good to help me be more connected to when I'm overwhelmed in general. To be autistic is to be chronically overwhelmed, right? Because we're processing 42% more information at rest than non-autistic people. And because of all the information we process all the time, it can be really overwhelming. So working on my interoception to the best of my ability, and again, I'm never going to have the interoception of someone who is allistic, because autism is a biological difference. My brain has less synaptic pruning in some areas and more in others. I'm simply not going to be able to tell you when I'm hungry as soon as I know. But working on it to some degree and reverse engineering ways to figure out if you're hungry, thirsty, and connecting with your body more can help you in the more original meaning of the word holistically, not the I do fake medicine stuff holistically. You know what I mean? It can kind of help take care of the whole autistic human. So one way that I connect to my body more and work on my interoception is engaging in what occupational therapists call alerting activities. Now, most of the stuff that you'll find online about alerting activities is directed more at things to do with children in the classroom. But you can really, and this is something I recommend people do a lot, when you look up stuff about autism and you say, oh, this is all stuff for kids, try to translate that to what it would look like for an adult to do it. Because a lot of these things have different, you know, sensory system things at their core, and it's not something that's strictly relegated to children. So some alerting activities could be like eating a crunchy food, doing jumping jacks, things that play with temperature, like ice or something warm, something that when I'm feeling really disconnected from my body and I'm not really alert, something that helps me focus more. So it kind of helps me dial into my body when I'm feeling, I don't know, I don't think depersonalized is quite right, because anytime I've depersonalized, that's been very intense, but I'm just like, I am not there. I'm not connected to my body. Sometimes it helps me when I'm doing an activity where I might tend to hyper-focus and lose track of time and not feed myself and not drink and not go take a piss to do something that is alerting. So that could be having a hot or cold drink beside me. That could be having a crunchy snack. That could be me, you know, standing up to do the task so I can like get on. I have like a wobble board. That can be really good, but just alerting activities are something that I try to engage in pretty frequently during my day to kind of help mitigate that hyperfocus, because with our interoception differences, we can tend to just not get any of our body signals when we're hyperfocused, because we're focused on this task that's really interesting us, and we can't really think about anything else. So having more things that sort of force me to connect to the fact that I have a physical body can be really helpful. Physical activity in general is really good for building your interoceptive awareness about what you're feeling in your body. And for me, I like weightlifting. And that gets classified as something called heavy work. Heavy work is pushing things away from the body or pulling things towards the body. And these can help you with understanding your body in relation to the space around you, which is your proprioception. But things like weightlifting, you have to have this mind-muscle connection. You're really paying attention to every movement. You're paying attention to what muscles you're engaging. And it's kind of this mindfulness that also has something quite stimmy involved with it too. So even if you're not into weightlifting, things like yoga, dance, and just any physical thing that really makes you slow down and think about a certain part of your body can be really helpful for building this awareness. And again, this relates to alexithymia because when you are having emotions, there are physical feelings that go along with those emotions. So the more we can become aware of the physical sensations that are going on in our body, the more that helps us process emotion. I know it seems convoluted to say, hey, you know what'll help me understand my emotions? Lifting weights. For me, lifting weights helps me have more of a connection to my body and therefore helps me have more of a connection to when my body is alerting me of an emotion I'm feeling. And if you don't have access to something like lifting weights or yoga, because, you know, we all have different levels of physical ability, I have, you know, some dynamic chronic illnesses and disability that make it where I don't always get to lift weights when I want to. And there are other things that kind of help me build interoceptive awareness that don't require as much physical ability from me. So when I don't have the capacity to work out, I often find doing mobility work, which you can find some really good basic mobility videos online. A lot of us who are autistic are often hypermobile, so static stretching that you usually see people do is not great for us, but mobility work that has dynamic stretching can be really good, and it's not as awful on our joints. So I like to do mobility work, and you can like just YouTube follow along mobility routine, hips, shoulders, whatever sort of area you would like to improve your mobility on and sort of help engage with those muscles, that can be really great. I also like just using my foam roller. I have a mini Theragun, which I really like because if I just really take my time, I'll usually listen to like a very chill podcast that I like and just kind of head to toe, get the Theragun and hit things that hurt the most. And because I'm lifting all of the time, sometimes Theragun time is where I stop and realize, oh, dip, my knee kind of hurts, huh? I didn't realize that before. Or, ooh, my shoulder's feeling a little crunchy. I need to lay off there. So that helps me engage with my muscles and my joints kind of in real time, like I'm doing a diagnostic on myself to kind of figure out what's hurting. And even when I don't have the capacity for doing the Theragun or the foam roller, just like applying lotion, if you have the flavor of autism where you don't mind lotion. I know it seems that we either have to have lotion all the time or we absolutely hate touching it. I don't know if I've met anyone who is autistic who has in-between feelings about it, but you probably already have habits or activities you enjoy that require you to engage with your body. So even if you do not have the physical ability to go lift weights or do yoga, anything that makes you slow down and pay attention to the, you know, discrete parts of your body and kind of pay attention to those, it can be really helpful. So I'm going to say something that has the word meditation in it, and I don't want you to full body reject it, okay? Because I hear mindfulness meditation, and it feels like every mental health professional is like, do it for your ADHD, download Headspace and have Andy tell you to not think your thoughts, but let the thoughts float by, but don't focus on your thoughts. And like, mindfulness meditation makes me want to rage, right? Like, I don't enjoy it. I hate it. I hate it. I don't want to do it. But I'm going to suggest body scan meditation and progressive muscle relaxation. So the same concept that is involved in doing physical activity, progressive muscle relaxation can involve tightening and then loosening your muscles and just doing that from head to toe. Just start with your forehead. I'll tell myself, you know, unclench my jaw, let my shoulders down, loosen up my traps. And I just head to toe, I'll listen to some chill music and I'll do that. And it helps me be more aware of my body. It makes me focus on each individual muscle group and joint and part of my body. And it helps me connect to those more. So it may take me a while. I might get distracted. I got fucking ADHD. I'll get distracted halfway through and remember, oh yeah, I was supposed to be tensing up, you know, my delts or something. I need to get back on track. And that's perfectly fine. But as long as I make it head to toe and I make sure I've connected with my body and I am not ignoring anything, that can be really helpful. If this sounds too intimidating to do on your own, you can find stuff on YouTube that'll take you through like body scan or progressive muscle relaxation. Some of it is a little crunchy. Some of it I have tried listening to and I'm like, cringe. Ugh, I hate this. I don't want to listen to this person. But occasionally I will find one where it's like, okay, this is very basic. Just take me through head to toe. I don't have the capacity to think about this all on my own. Guide me through it. And like guided progressive muscle relaxation and stuff is another great use of YouTube. So I have a playlist on YouTube for myself with a bunch of videos like the mobility work I talked about, different types of body scan meditation, things for when I need to engage with my body. And YouTube, I feel like, is a really good resource for this kind of stuff because I like to work on my interoception and making sure I'm not disconnecting from my body on a regular basis. And having dynamic disabilities, that can sometimes be hard when I don't have access to weightlifting. So having different options that I can use to connect with myself more depending on my energy level is really helpful also because I don't have to fuck up my routine too much when, you know, my endometriosis is flared and I can't possibly even stand up or sit upright to use the Theragun, you know what I mean? So having a bunch of different options to engage with improving my interoceptive awareness and making sure I connect with my body is really helpful. So a YouTube playlist is going to be your best friend here. All right, so we've talked about interoception. That is related to your alexithymia because the more easily you are able to identify the feelings that you are having in your body, the more easily you can figure out your emotions. So I was 30 years old when I learned that being worried sick was literal. And then when I thought about, okay, I'm feeling sick to my stomach, what's been going on lately? Oh, I'm worried sick like all the goddamn time. And there were times where I thought I was actually getting sick or I had some sort of gastrointestinal issue because I was not getting the memo that it was feelings making me feel sick. Because very often, like when your fight or flight response gets triggered, your body is like, oh, you're going to have to run away from danger soon or you're going to have to fight something soon. Let's send all of this blood to your heart and your lungs so you can either run or have enough air to like breathe more and fight and send this, you know, energy back to your muscles so you can fight or run away. And it deprioritizes digestion. Oh my god, y'all, you would not fucking believe it. I just had to pause recording because a spider ran across my keyboard right as I'm describing the fact that you're, when you get panicked and scared, your body, I'm sorry, the timing's really funny, but yeah, no, a spider ran across my keyboard, and then I was like, oh, my heart started beating faster, and I started breathing faster, and I felt my stomach drop out my butt. Okay, it's a living example. So yeah, when you get scared or worried, your body, that's just fucking funny. I almost wish you could have been here to see it, but I don't. I'm glad that I can edit out the scared little baby scream I did about the spider. And then I had to go get James and say like, help, help, it's a spider. But anyway, that timing was really fucking funny. funny. But yeah, so working on interoception can help you realize when your body is feeling these things more. So now we're going to get into translating that into understanding your emotions and working on alexithymia. So I very often refer my clients to these solo dump episodes because I love them very much, and if I can offer them some of my advice and insight at a time that they don't have to pay for, and we don't have to go through all of this together, it just seems like a nice thing to do. So if you're one of my clients, you've probably already heard me suggest the app How We Feel. It's a free app. I think it's cool. They just want people to be able to work on their emotional intelligence more. I think it's neat, and it is an app that allows you to track your emotions. And as someone who has trouble understanding my emotions, the thing I really like about How We Feel is that the only thing you need to know is if you're feeling high energy or low energy, pleasant or unpleasant. So you have this XY axis where the top half is, you know, your high energy, the bottom half is your low energy, the left is unpleasant, the right is pleasant, and you go pick where you are on this sort of matrices, I don't know, I ain't good at geometry. You pick where you are on this graph, right? And then when you click, it has very specific emotions with precise definitions of those emotions. And you can see emotions that live in the neighborhood, because maybe your initial assessment of how you were feeling wasn't super accurate. So you pick what emotion you're feeling. I'm going to say disappointed, because that's one of the first ones I ever checked in on How We Feel. And it was like a light bulb moment, because it was giving me the precise definition to let me know, hey, you're feeling disappointed by an unmet expectation. And I found where I was on the chart. I saw that disappointed was in the neighborhood. I saw the precise definition, and then I looked at my circumstances and I was like, oh, I did have an expectation that wasn't met. And that's what I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling disappointed. And that's kind of when I fell in love with the app. So let's say you're disappointed and you click on that. On How We Feel, you can make notes when you check in with your feeling, and I like to make note of the physical feelings I am feeling in my body. So you can see why the interoceptive awareness part is helpful, because with How We Feel, if you check in with it enough, it collates all of this data that you are collecting about yourself, and you can kind of understand, okay, for me, this physical feeling often accompanies disappointed. Let's look at the definition of disappointed. Let's look at my circumstances. Okay, my physical sensations are the same as these other times when I was disappointed. I think I'm disappointed. You can also, one thing I like to do is make notes about how much sleep have I gotten? Did I get to work out that day? Other things that I know help me regulate my emotions, and that's, I used this app in a very early version. They had a beta version that was under a different name, and it really helped me figure out my meltdown triggers because I was able to track things. And it turns out on days that I don't lift weights, I am more likely to have a meltdown because it's really regulating for me. So a lot of the interoceptive work I do, like mobility work and the foam roller and all that stuff, are things I started incorporating because the How We Feel app let me know that I needed some way to help myself regulate on days I was not lifting weights. So How We Feel is great. You can track those emotions and track what people you were with do. So you might track emotions and be annoyed a lot and realize half of your annoyed emotion check-ins are you hanging out with your coworker Todd, and you're like, oh, I think I fucking hate Todd. I used to check in with How We Feel like 4 times a day. I check in with it occasionally now when I'm feeling kind of disconnected or my autistic burnout is particularly bad, because it kind of helps me connect back in with my emotions at times where I tend to unplug them. The longer I collected data on myself, the less I had to collect data on myself, because now I've been able to internalize what for me angry feels like, what for me frustrated feels like, what for me disappointed, sad, you know, dispassionate, all of these other very nuanced emotions, I have a better idea of what those feel like for me because I've really intentionally looked at them and collected data on myself. So the next suggestion to help you work on alexithymia is one that I also ask you to not full body reject, because I feel like this is a thing that a lot of therapists suggest to people as though it's going to fix everything and people have not considered doing this. But the thing I'm going to suggest is journaling. Please don't turn the podcast off. Please don't turn it off. My journaling is different. My journaling is different, okay? A lot of us, we tend to have a different idea of what journaling should be. And a lot of journaling apps and journaling practices are really predicated on doing it every single day, right? Which I don't think you need to do it every single day. I think our black and white thinking tells us that if we're not doing it every single day, we're somehow failing at journaling. And that's absolutely not the case. The way I like to look at it is I have journaling as a tool to help me. And like any tool, sometimes it's not the right tool for the job. Like if I'm going to go hang a bookshelf, I don't think I need a jackhammer for that job. It doesn't mean the jackhammer is useless. It just means it's not the tool for this job. So for me, journaling is a tool in my toolbox. And it's not something that I'm writing in a way that, talking to clients, I think a lot of clients feel like they have to journal in a way that they might expect someone else to read it someday, and no one's going to read it. You don't even have to go back and read it. It doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to recap your day, but for a lot of us, we are verbal processors. For those of us who are hyperverbal, and this is not a case for anyone, this is not a sweeping thing. For a lot of us who are hyperverbal, we need to get things out in words in order to process them. But you can't just hold your loved ones and family hostage to verbally process at them all of the time. Nobody's going to have the capacity for that all of the time. And there's going to come a time where you need to verbally process some things to figure out what you're feeling, and you do not have a person to process them with. So this is where I think journaling is extremely helpful, because you can dump all of that stuff you are trying to verbally process with someone onto a page, and very often I will dump all of that and go, oh damn, I'm mad as hell, aren't I? I didn't realize I was. So sometimes just journaling with the intent of dumping out all of the different things that are playing in my brain, and when you're autistic and have ADHD, it's like there are 30 televisions on at the same time when you've got, you know, some really big emotions happening. And it's unfair that we feel more than one emotion at once, because that just gets more confusing. Sometimes just writing stuff down helps turn the volume down on some of that noise. And for me, sometimes with feelings, I tend to ruminate and get stuck in loops. And writing things down and journaling in this way can help me sort of close the loop. I think the closest thing I can describe it as is when you have a song stuck in your head, the way to fix it is to listen to the song all the way through. This is that for me, but with feelings. So if you haven't tried just dumping things out to verbally process to journal, it doesn't have to be cute. You can process things verbally without having to have someone to process them with you. And that can really help you figure out emotions. And finally, the last thing I'm going to suggest is interoceptive stimming. Now, interoceptive stimming can be both helpful and harmful. Like, a lot of stims can be self-injurious too, right? Interoceptive stimming can be a very good thing, and then it can be a very harmful thing. Interoceptive stimming is connecting you more towards how your body feels, connecting with your body. In the autistic community online, I feel like it's mostly other autistic people talking about it, but the root of some of our substance abuse can be, our substance abuse tendencies for a lot of us can be trying to connect and feel something in our bodies when our bodies aren't used to giving each other the memo that, giving our brain the memo that we're feeling something. You know what I mean? When you're really disconnected from your body and you're using substances that alter how your body feels, that can give you a temporary connection to your body. So this is not me suggesting you go out and get really drunk. This is just me saying that if you kind of relate to that, you might be someone who seeks interoceptive input and interoceptive stimming. And I certainly had substances I was interoceptively stimming with. There is a reason I have not had a drop of alcohol since July 29th, 2019, and that is because my relationship to it was not good. Now, there is positive interoceptive stimming that can be really helpful when you are trying to figure out your feelings or make sure that you're not disconnected from your feelings. So it could be listening to a song that really makes you feel something. It could be watching a movie that makes you feel something, might make you cry, might make you feel very proud. If you're someone like me who has special interests that are TV shows or franchises, so like for me, Star Trek and Buffy are my number one sources of interoceptive stimming. I have specific episodes that when I want to feel a particular way, I can watch those, and special interests are ways that autistic people often process the world around us and can help process our emotions. Like, regardless of what your special interest is, we very often use them to process emotions. So if you reading Star Trek Voyager fanfic makes you feel something, that could be a source of interoceptive stimming for you. For me, one thing I have to do when I'm grieving a loss is have deliberate time to grieve. I will kind of unplug my feelings, not on purpose, but because my interoception is different and I have alexithymia. So I very often will work on a creative project because making things makes me feel things. And that creative project can be directly related to the loss I'm experiencing. So back in 2022, when I lost my dear soul dog, Jaxie, I worked on making painting a lampshade, which doesn't sound like a grief project, but he really liked apples, and we had a friend's house who had an apple tree, and he was absolutely wild about that apple tree. So I painted a bunch of apple blossoms on it, and I was going to put it in my room because that was the room that I shared with that little guy. And I still need to wire the lamp, okay? It's been several years. I have ADHD. Give me a fucking break. But it's all painted. So, like any stimming, there are healthy ways to engage in that. And some of them are self-injurious, like binge drinking. But interoceptive stimming can really connect both your body and your emotions and help you be more aware of what those feel like. So, you might not immediately be able to answer people when they say, hey, what are you feeling? How are you feeling? But working on your alexithymia means that you can actually tell people, you know what? I don't really know right now. Give me some time to process that and I'll get back to you. And if you work on having tools for processing those things and connecting with how your body's feeling and understanding how you need to process emotions, you can communicate those. Now, you're not going to communicate it maybe as quickly as your holistic counterparts out in the world, but figuring out the way your feelings present for you, what they feel like in your body, connecting to your body more can help you understand your emotions and really help you communicate better with those around you and those people that you love. Because if you understand your emotions better, you can share that with your loved ones. Well, I hope this was helpful. Feelings are hard. I think it's bullshit that we're usually feeling more than one at a time because, like, pick a lane, right? Like, pick a feeling. And since it's just me this time, I'm going to dive right into the housekeeping section. So, if you appreciated this episode, this solo dump about alexithymia and interoception, you can thank our Patreon supporters like Bethany Glass, Percy, Chamberlain Foreman, Nanya B, Kate Michigoose, K Genius, Chibs1012, Dave Perrell, Megan E, Carl Brooks, Natasha Neves, Gus Lutzi, Helen Clifford, B Trossler, Sewing Sarah, Rachel Rachelson, Fintago, and Randy Lovings. You know the usual. If you want to help us out, you can tell other people about the show. If you know an autistic person who might appreciate this episode, who might find it helpful, send it their way. If you're in an autism-related group online, if you're in a subreddit, if you're in a Discord server, something that, you know, where this would be valuable to them, share it. We don't take paid ads and we don't take out advertisements. We grow entirely by word of mouth. If you want to help us even more, you can subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. That helps the algorithms know that people like the show and to show us to other people who might like similar shows. You can leave a rating or review to let people know what the show is like, and it shows engagement. So for a lot of people, if they see that a show has a lot of ratings and they trend positively, they're more likely to check out a show. If you're in a place to help us out financially, you can go to the show details and find a link to the Mixnomer Patreon page. There, you get any of the bonus material we offer at our respective tiers for any shows we do now. Today's lucky winner will be ending pretty soon, but we have a spinoff coming out, and I'm working on like two other sci-fi shows because my brain can't get one idea at a time. And anything we produce at Mixnomer will have bonus content available through our Patreon. Levels start at just a dollar, and you can support us. And finally, if you want to come hang out with us, the show details also has a link to our Discord server. Half the motherfuckers in that Discord server are autistic and or ADHD, and it is the best vibes, good times, great oldies, fire memes. It is my favorite Discord server that I am a part of, and I feel like I would feel that way even if it wasn't the one based in the podcast production company that I am part owner of. I just think it's good vibes and everyone's very supportive and genuinely very kind. I am very proud of the type of listener that we attract. So if you want to come hang out with us, we do regular streams. I had a Stitch and Bitch stream today where that's popping. It's an international affair. We have fun doing fiber arts and talking about stuff together. But yeah, you can go join us on the Discord server. It's a lot of fun. But that's all I've got for you right now, my friends. Until next time, clever sign off.